welcome back to another episode of the Merge Feast. My name is Blake. I'm here with Logan and Brandon. Welcome back, guys.
How are we doing this week?
What's going on?
We are back with episode 7. So
episode several.
Episode several. That shout out to Jelinski. We'll talk about that here in a little bit because Jeff shouted him out again. The guy's going to go down in infamy. But let's kind of hop right in. When the tribe came back from last week's tribal council and Venus had her name written down, she was going in fairly hard at Soda about thinking that Soda's the one that wrote her name down. Did you guys think that would come back to bite either one of them?
You're saying come back to bite Venus and Soda?
Yes. So I guess let me clarify. So we'll just hop to the end. Soda is one of the people voted out this week. And the way that first interaction was going, I thought there is no way that Venus is going to last longer than Soda. And then for that to end the way it did, I was just really surprised. And I thought more people would be against Venus because of how she was doing that and going in hard, even though Charlie kind of cleared that up. But I don't know. I'm always a little surprised when people are like, hey, you did this.
Yeah. And I think for Venus, she's kind of been that way for a lot of things this season, of just very blunt and like not afraid to confront people. And in this instance, her and Soda have clearly had issues before or confrontation before. And my thoughts on the whole Soda going home and if that was cause from some of that, I don't necessarily think so. I feel like Tevin had been kind of eyeing Soda and like just weary of her because he knows that she was a very, I guess you could say, like a strategic player, like social player. And so being weary of her there, hey, let's get her out now. We have the numbers, we can get it done. And then nobody seems to want to work with Venus much, so we can get her out later. Let's get Soda out now and worry about Venus later, because nobody's really working with her a ton. I don't know. That's kind of how I took it and the outcome of all that. But I don't know about you guys.
No, I think it's honestly a really good explanation. I don't have a ton to add on that front.
No, and that makes sense. I don't necessarily like the way Venus is playing. However, she is smart enough and wants to play hard enough that I'm kind of surprised she hasn't been able to pull anybody in, or that nobody's tried to pair up with her. Because I think her in a duo similar to how Charlie and Maria are could work fairly well, because she is a sharp girl and willing to make big moves. It's a little surprising that nobody's at least tried. Everybody has kind of seen right through it.
I think Maria kind of said it best. Like, she has good ideas, but it's kind of seems like it's really the way that Venus is going about her business that is turning people off. Like, you're telling me what I need to do or the way you're going about it. And also, like, I think Maria said she needs to read the room, because there were a couple times that, like, if, like, we don't need to, you have 7 plans going on because you don't like the 2 that are presented. So I think it's really just like people don't want to work with her because they don't like how she's operating on the island.
I mean, we kind of saw that a couple of weeks ago where she was pressing somebody of like, look at me, give me your word, and like just almost too much. And like Maria said, that puts people off. Like, give me some time to think and like process it. I don't have to give you an answer right this minute. And if I told you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. But I don't know. I just feel like she's been too, come off too strong, not strong, but like too aggressive in a way.
Which kind of leads into the next person that I want to talk about, which is Q. Twice in this episode, did people start to think, man, Q's playing a little too hard, or he's rubbing me the wrong way on this. And I believe that was Charlie and Kenzie and Tiff a little bit, but mainly Kenzie talking about it. I'm like, oh man, he kind of does the same thing that Venus does. I just think he's a little more likable when he does it.
Yeah. And we even kind of, the three of us even kind of noticed that last week with Q, is like, he's going to get in trouble because he might be playing a little bit too hard. But I think Charlie said, you know, he's kind of my way or the highway. And I think that's a style of play that worked 20 seasons ago. But I think players today are too good to just go along with that type of style, type of gameplay. So I might get to a point, especially since Yanu has obviously, like, they've been through it, but since the merge, they kind of seem like they've been running the camp, which is highly interesting. So I feel like we might see a dynamic shift of people attacking Yanu maybe next week, and Q might be at the top of that list.
Sure. Well, we talked about it last week a little bit, and just how them coming in as the weaker tribe almost took the target off their backs. And they've gotten really lucky on the draws on, like, which tribe they're on, or for the challenge at least. So that has definitely helped that they've kind of had the numbers with them. But yeah, I'm with you. I'll be curious to see if that dynamic shifts and that target shifts back over to them at all.
And not to jump into an episode that we haven't even seen yet, but it seems like it could even, a target could get thrown at Q from one of his own. So again, we'll jump into that once we see it, but just my observations for tonight.
For sure. Well, another thing before we kind of hop into the challenge, we had a moment between Ben and Kenzie. And it comes up a little later, and we'll talk about that when we get to that tribal. But did you guys have any thoughts or feelings about Ben waking up and, like, from a panic attack, and then Kenzie kind of helping him out?
Yeah. I've had to be, you know, Kenzie in a situation where somebody's having a panic attack multiple times. So it's not that you want to see anybody go through anxiety or panic or whatever, but it was kind of cool to see the game get just set aside for a second, to just see two humans work through something together. And if that puts a target on their back later, then, you know, it is what it is. So I always like to see vulnerability on the island, because I feel like everybody's in game mode. Now, this obviously was really out of Ben's control to go through this, but I like that Kenzie was just, it was in the middle of the night. So I like that she was just like, I don't care, I'm tired, but I got to help this guy out. So love to see it.
Yeah, I thought it was a really cool moment. And at first I was really confused, because, like, you could hear him, like, deep breathing and kind of like, just obviously going through the panic attack. And I was like, what is going on? And then the way she handled that and talked through all of that, I, like Brandon said, I love seeing that, those moments of kind of coming together and vulnerability and just talking through and helping each other and putting the game on pause. Like, life is bigger than the game. Like, we need to help you out, get you taken care of. And so that was really cool for Kenzie to be able to actually do that and set the game aside and help him out. Cause I think, one, he really appreciated it and, like, made them closer, but really shows, I think, Kenzie's character too.
Yeah, absolutely. I kept thinking back to when she was comforting Banu And mm-hmm. even though she kind of snapped at him, but she like went and apologized and then really comforted him in his time of need. I had a thought there where I remember thinking, man, I hope she is actually that genuine and is not just playing this nice, likable person as a move for the game. I'm sure that's part of it. But tonight, I felt like I got a grasp of that, that like, that is she's just genuinely a kind person. And she just seems super nice. So if she keeps herself in the game, I mean, I was sitting there trying to imagine between her and Maria in the finals. Gosh, that would be a tough game.
That'd be a fun final tribal to watch, because I think that could go down and as a really close vote.
For sure.
With Venus being the third and getting zero votes, it'd be great.
Or Liz.
Yep.
I don't know. I was... It was definitely a cool moment, and we'll talk about that a little bit more at Tribal because we kind of get round two. But before we get to Tribal, we have to talk about the challenge. So, Brandon, take us through this fairly newer but starting to become a classic challenge.
Yeah. So, first really official merge challenge, individual immunity challenge, and... For starters, let's talk about the immunity necklace that Jeff reveals. It's this beautiful red necklace. One of the more unique immunity necklaces that I've seen.
I like it.
Loved it. Lots of color to it that we don't typically see. It's usually like some just brown necklace that's also cool, but loved the different take on the immunity necklace this time. But anyway, back to the challenge. So... I don't think we've talked about it, but there are two tribal councils tonight. So in this challenge, the tribe was going to divide into two quote-unquote teams, purple and orange. There would be two immunity winners, one from each of those teams. And between those two immunity winners, the one that stayed on the longest would also win reward for their team. And let's talk about the reward for a second before we describe the challenge, because I listed it out and there's one thing that I'm confused about that I might need an explanation on from one of you guys. So playing for coffee and tea, hot or iced sandwiches, meat pies, I don't know what that means, and cream cheese danishes. What is a meat pie?
You never seen Sweeney Todd?
No, what is a meat pie?
Honestly, I think of it like a chicken pot pie, but it could be beef, but something like that.
It sounds Australian.
I could be totally wrong, but actually
I feel like I've heard it from somebody like from Australia say something about a meat pie or something like that. So that wouldn't surprise me, Brandon.
It literally looks like a pie full of meat.
A meat pie is a pie with a filling of meat and often with other savory ingredients. Okay, so just a weird way for them to describe like a chicken pot pie, I guess. I'll get back to the challenge, describe that, and if one of you two want to break down the teams for us. So as Blake said, newer challenge, but kind of a classic at this point. So description is they're in the water for starters. You're going to balance on a triangular platform with your feet perched on very narrow footholds. And then in regular intervals, you're going to move higher up the platform, making it harder to balance. And when you get to the top, you're going to just stand kind of on the top of it like a balance beam. And then eventually, if there's people remaining, you will stand up there with one foot. And rules are simple. If you touch the platform with anything other than your feet or you fall off of the platform, you are out. So, Logan, you want to break down the teams?
Yeah, absolutely. So they drew rocks randomly, so completely random. On the purple team, we had Soda, Venus, Tevin, Carly, Maria, and Liz. And then on the orange team, we had Ben, Tim, Hunter, Q, Kinsey, and Tiffany. And kind of right off the bat, we had, well, not right off the bat, but starting as soon as they start that challenge, I don't know if you guys noticed, but it didn't look like they started on the bottom like level.
Yeah, I didn't see that either.
That was weird. But
did yours cut in from commercial when they feel it felt like they didn't even show who drew the what colors?
Yeah. Do you think that they cut out some of the challenge, maybe?
I almost wonder if they did, and whether that was intentional or not, but I don't know. It was just strange.
Yeah. Okay. My thought was they maybe cut it out because you could clearly see the water was extremely still. Last time we did this challenge, it was super rocky, and I think Jeff said they lasted all of like 3 minutes, to where this one went on and on and on. So I wonder if they just kind of cut that out. But I noticed that, and then as that went on, the orange team dropped a little bit quicker, and Kinsey ended up winning immunity for the orange team. Purple ended up lasting the longest as a team, but Maria won individual immunity and reward for the entire team. So,
and Maria was going up against Tevin, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Tevin made one of the greatest saves I've ever seen.
I was impressed.
This was on the one-legged portion of the challenge, and I mean, he's basically like upside down and somehow pulled himself back up from falling. So
that was up there. But that was not my favorite moment of that challenge. The alphabet game that Q was trying to play. So basically he said, okay, cities. So Hunter said, I don't remember what he said. A for Austin. I don't know what town he said.
What did he say? Yeah.
Albuquerque? No, Atlanta.
Atlanta.
So, and then the game is the next person says A, Atlanta, B, Baltimore. Yeah. And then the next person goes A, Atlanta, B, Baltimore, C, Charleston, or whatever, and keeps going. Apparently, nobody knows how to play that game. And everybody just kept saying the next letter. And then, so when Charlie piped up and he's like, all right, I got this. And then he just jumped way out of line and did it wrong. And I don't think Q thought it was funny at all, but everybody else kind of chuckled and Jeff chuckled. It was so funny.
Yeah, that was great. Because I got this. Baltimore. And then it cut to his face. He knew exactly what he was doing. I loved it.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Those little moments from Charlie, I feel like we get small little snippets of him, like, not like kind of just giving the other teammates a hard time or kind of playing around with that. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's little snippets of him that I'm starting to like Charlie.
He is one that he's made a couple comments about how, like, wasn't a popular kid or kind of, you know, a loner or an outcast. I forget his exact words, but he's made a couple mentions of that. And I'm like, and if people would just get to know this guy, he is really funny and just seems like a cool, genuine person. That's just, you know, maybe not super easily fits in, but I think he is going to walk away from this season and people are going to absolutely love him.
Mm-hmm.
I think, another great moment in the challenge. This was one of the more just kind of fun challenges, by the way, just from the banter between the players and Jeff. Jelinski just we can't get rid of him. So remember the reference of several means seven. Jeff was like, you guys have been up there several minutes, which means seven. And he shouted out Jelinski.
Yeah, that was really funny. You normally don't get to see that side of Jeff, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then Jeff's interaction with Tim later in the challenge. Great. Tim basically asked Jeff, "What's up, Jeff?" And Jeff was just like, "Hey, what's up, Tim?" And then Q had to tell him, "He's like, man, that's how black people ask what time it is." And so he was like, okay. And then it happened again a few minutes later, and Jeff answered the time. But then when nobody else was talking and Tim started doing shout outs, and then Q looked at Jeff and said, "That's what black people do on the radio."
Oh man. One of the better challenges that we have seen, and not even for any of the right reasons. So,
I mean, Jeff even said, "This is the most fun I've had in a challenge in a long time." So, like, he even enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'm just glad it kept fun and not, it didn't turn into people being like annoyed with Q or telling Q to shut up or, you know, things like that. Everybody seemed to keep it fun and lighthearted, so I'm glad, because that those moments are fun.
Yeah, and I mean, if I were there, I probably would be glad that somebody like you said something like that, because they're, I mean, we obviously see it cut down, but they're up there a long time, so
for sure
gotta kill the time, take your mind off of things, off the pain.
And that also would make sense if they did actually start on that lower rung and had been there for 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever. Because Q seemed to do that pretty quickly, but they may have already been up there for 20 minutes already. You know, who knows?
It could have been. I wonder if there was just like, okay, this was the most boring first segment of the challenge ever, so we don't care. That might have been what it was. And maybe it was that, so they could include all of the fun little tidbits that we got to see.
For sure.
So,
which I'm good with if that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely. So we talked about who won, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about who won, but I think one thing that I think we failed to mention, which I think was my fault, but immunity and reward were obviously at stake, but also being a member of the jury or not a member of the jury. The team that went, the one reward went to Tribal Council second. Team that didn't win reward went first. And whoever got voted on that first tribal just missed the cut of being on the jury.
And they didn't even go back to the same camp. So one of the tribes went back to Sega's old camp. And so they were separate the rest of the day until tribal.
Yep. And I mean, what do we think of these split tribal councils?
I have mixed emotions about it. I enjoy, from time to time, I enjoy it because it does mix up the alliances and kind of makes the unknown, but in the game, you've worked so hard to build those relationships and those alliances to be at the individual stage and being able to vote anybody, but then all of a sudden being split up from that. And I think for me, I'm leaning towards the side of not enjoying it as much as I used to. But yeah.
I'm actually going to say the exact opposite. I normally hate it because I'm with you. And I felt like, even though they did this last year where I felt like a jury member was on the line, like becoming jury was on the line. But I felt like last year it was almost, or maybe it wasn't last year, last season or two seasons ago, whenever they did that recently, it felt like it was more to shake up the game. But this, I don't know, this seemed like there was more strategy to it. Like, hey, we're actually doing this to put a bigger emphasis on the challenge. So yes, you have that reward aspect that you can win for your tribe, but it's not a tribe thing. It's also the individual immunity piece, but then deciding like, man, I've got to fight for this because I at least want to make the jury. And I don't remember seeing it from that perspective last time, where it just like it felt like there was more on the line for that challenge, which for me made me like it a little bit. And I also kind of like the outcomes, so I may be totally against it if the outcome was two people voted out that I didn't want out. But I enjoyed it this week. Yeah, I was curious. Did you like it, Brandon?
I go back and forth. I feel like I'm probably in the same boat as you, Blake, if I'm understanding you right, where it probably would have depended on the outcome of each of the tribals. But I feel like last season, it bothered me more than it did this season. Because I feel like last season, when this happened, like, alliances got thrown all out of whack. Where this season, I don't feel like that really happened that much.
Oh, the other thing, remember when they had to go back to the wrong, like, to a different camp, and the people didn't bring their bag?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like they had like advantages or idols that couldn't be played, which kind of ruined it. So it was like it not only changed up who you could vote for, but then like kind of screwed over the people that didn't like bring their bag to the challenge and disrupted the game a little bit more.
Yeah, I think and this doesn't bother me as much. Splitting tribes up doesn't bother me as much as tribes losing or tribe members losing their votes. So it's hopefully something we don't see down the line.
I agree.
But what do we got post challenge? It was, they spent time with the purple team, right? First.
Yes, Soda, they did.
Soda, Venus, Tevin, Charlie, Maria, and Liz.
I feel like that was a kind of a strange, not strange situation, but Charlie was the odd man out there because the way the split kind of worked there, him and Maria were the only Sigas. Everybody else was
Nami.
Man, I couldn't think of that. Everybody else was Nami. Maria had reward or immunity, so the obvious vote there was Charlie. He obviously didn't want to give up and kind of went through that, but it was interesting to see Tevin and everybody start to turn on their own teammates, where it could have been, let's just get Charlie out because it's the easy vote. But
yeah, honestly, this tribal was just made it very apparent that Nami is not a strong unit like we thought they would be, because they really don't have a reason to have fractures in their group because they didn't do a lot of losing. But clearly, I think it's just big personality clashes that is the issue, right?
I agree with that, yeah.
I think one thing that impresses me about Charlie is this is not the first time that he has been in a situation where his name's on the chopping block, literally last week as well. And he's like cool, calm, and collected. Now he says internally that he's freaking out, but externally he holds it together really well. And I think that's a really good quality to have in Survivor.
For sure.
And for him in this instance, having Maria there, I think was really helpful for him, because him and Maria's alliance or relationship there has been, I think, the most solid one so far. And he even said at one point, I'm glad I've got Maria because I trust her 100%. And if she tells me I'm good, then I trust her. And so I think we've seen that loyalty from him. And so, like I said earlier in the episode, I'm really starting to like Charlie.
Yeah, and him and Maria together are, they're going to be tough to break up, especially because no one seems to know or suspect anything, which that's tough to do.
Yeah. So the names that were kind of on the chopping block for this group, Tevin. A lot of names, actually. So Venus and Soda, and then Charlie and kind of Tevin. Were you surprised that there were that many names that came up?
And we still haven't heard Liz's name dropped yet.
I'm feeling like nobody is really concerned about Liz trying to pull anything. So I think they're happy with just letting her be.
And makes sense while they have the numbers, but it's like, man, let's, I have a hard time when those goats get to the end, because so many more people were not more deserving, but just played a better game. And I would rather the best players make it the farthest.
Yeah.
But
I do find it funny that Liz was saying that it was either I think it might have been Soda she was talking about, that she's way too laid back or something. I don't remember if it was Soda or Venus she was talking about, but I just thought it was ironic that Liz was saying that somebody was playing too laid back.
Yeah, Liz has been kind of just non-existent for, like, I don't know. She's just, she's there.
Yeah. It's definitely, Purple's, it was confusing to follow because there were like three different plans going on.
Yeah, I really wasn't sure what was or what to expect for Tribal. I had an idea that like who was going to be coming down to, but there were so many different plans talked about that I wasn't sure which way it was going to go.
Yeah, and the way Venus was like, ooh, we could do this. We could all throw votes this way, or we could split the vote three different ways. It was like, just trying, I don't know, trying way too hard.
Doing too much for sure.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about kind of switching over to the orange tribe with Tim kind of going after Hunter? What'd you guys think of that?
For me, it just really showed that Tim is Sega strong. And I think he also sees Hunter as a threat. I know that Tim technically has an alliance with Hunter, but I think Tim's playing his game.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, though. I think Q was the one that brought it up with Tim about how he wanted to have all of these different alliances, but didn't want to, like you said, he is Sega strong, or was Sega strong. So he had all these other alliances that he wanted to be a part of, but he couldn't get away from being Sega strong, and that's what really hindered him, I think.
That, and it really showed me that he didn't really learn his lesson last week. I mean, that was the whole reason why they voted Mariah out, because not her specifically, but from the Sega tribe, that, hey, we're strong, we're super strong. And then when Mariah tried to get out of that, felt like they were lying just to protect themselves. And I think that was almost to Tim's detriment this week, that he continued to sit on that. And they were like, we just voted somebody out because you guys are too close. And now you are still too close and not willing to crack. Like, we've got to get somebody out from there again.
And I will say, like, I felt like they should have voted Hunter out. It made a ton of sense. Get a big threat out right now. This might be our best chance this entire game to make it happen.
Yeah, I think it would have been a great move to vote him off, because I think he does have relationships, one with Q, and then I think him and Tevin have kind of been working together. And like Brandon said, he's a strong player. Yes, he's great in challenges. Yeah, I could see where he's maybe not as social as some other people. I didn't want to see him go because I do really, really like Hunter. I see how it could have been a great move, but I'm glad he didn't go home.
I didn't want to see any of them go home, that group, because, like, I don't know, it's a solid group, and I really enjoyed Tim.
Yeah, on the other tribe, I really didn't care. I didn't really want Charlie to go home, but other than that, I didn't really care.
Yeah.
So for this one, that one to be fairly easy for me, this one was quite a bit tougher.
Yeah. Yeah, on the purple, like, Soda or Liz, I didn't really care either way. I'm kind of curious to see where Venus's game goes, so I was hoping that she didn't get voted out, because definitely has been an interesting player, the way that she kind of goes about things, and just I want to see more of that, because I think it's going to end up blowing up in her face.
We can have another person's game that's starting to get blown up in their face is Q. And the fact that he admitted that he jumped off on purpose just to test how strong his alliance was, how much he could trust them, I thought that was incredibly bold and a little bit dumb, in my opinion. I mean, it's clearly, it worked out for him this week, but I was a little surprised that he admitted that. I think that's going to end up blowing up in his face.
So do you think that he actually jumped off on purpose, or do you think he fell?
I do think he jumped off on purpose.
I was wondering the same thing, Brandon, because I feel like whenever they were transitioning from that top level, like balance ledge to going to standing on that very, very top, I guess, top level there. Jeff very clearly said, you have this many seconds to get up there. At the end of that, if you're not up, you're out. It felt like he was just sitting there and was not focused on the transition whatsoever until it was like 4 seconds left. And then he was trying to get his balance.
Yeah.
So I kind of wondered the same thing. Did he truly jump off, or did he just not pay attention and then got caught and said that?
The only reason that I would disagree is because, remember when he failed at one of the challenges to win them, like to win Yanu the immunity, but like how hard he took that and like how he was beating himself up about it. I have a hard time believing that he would be that hard on himself, but then also fail and just play it off like he did it on purpose. If he was, I don't know, so hard on himself last time, like why wouldn't he tell the camera that previously?
Yeah.
Because if that's the way you want to play it and use that as your thing, and at that point you're just telling the camera. It's not like you're telling everybody and using that to your advantage, but I don't know.
And I think the situations are different from where they were at in the game, because before they were needing to win, so they as a tribe didn't go home, or they got Flint, and so the pressure was that much more to survive and to win the challenges, to where now, yes, you still want immunity, but it's not as big of a thing that he felt like he needed to do for everybody else or to win to get those things, because they have a lot of that already. I don't know if that makes sense, though.
Yeah, no, it does. I just don't think that it's like the exact same thing when he was talking about, like, I might just throw in the towel, and then it cut to the camera and he's like, I ain't ever quitting.
Yeah.
Like that would be like us asking well, did he mean that he was never quitting, or was he just like trying to play the tough guy? And I didn't take it that way at all. So that's kind of why I was thinking on this one that he was legit, but
it makes sense.
But we'll see. I don't know. I mean, he clearly doesn't want to be a threat until he has to, but at some point you have to win the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if he can put up, even if he doesn't win, but goes, you know, up against Hunter and up against Tevin or, you know, any one of the other strong competitors that, you know, and puts up a fight, I think, okay.
Yeah. I think it's funny that he said he didn't want to come off as a threat in challenges when we saw multiple times in this episode that he's clearly being seen as a threat from his strategic gameplay. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's really doing anything by laying low in the challenges. I think people already see him. So it probably will be advantageous for him to start performing in challenges.
For sure. Did we talk about... we haven't talked about tribal on either one, have we?
Nope.
Okay. I was going to say that I think that's kind of what we got next. And
so you want to start with... Was purple the first one?
Let's see. No, orange was the first one.
Okay. So...
No.
Yes, they were.
Oh, yes, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, orange was first tribe.
It's throwing me off because Yanu was purple, and Yanu had more people on the orange team. All three of them, Ben, Hunter, and Tim, all had really good pitches. I could have seen an argument for them going any of the directions that they did. But were you guys surprised that Hunter did not play his idol?
No, not necessarily. I think he trusted the conversations that he had, obviously. And obviously you don't ever want to go home with an idol in your pocket, but I feel like his instant in his situation, based on the conversations he had, I probably would have done the same thing if I felt comfortable enough, obviously, to be able to save that. I wasn't super surprised that he did not play it, though.
Yeah, I wasn't either. And similar to what Logan said, I think he did the legwork, and I think he feels confident in the fact that he, while he was the only Nami there, I think he was confident in the fact that he has at least Q and Tiffany in his corner because of the Journey 6 alliances or the plus one or whatever they're calling it. But so I wasn't surprised, no.
I wasn't either, but and maybe I'm just not paying that close of attention, but it seems like Hunter is playing a really, really good strategic game and has a lot of people that he trusts and people that trust him. But you don't see a lot of those conversations. It doesn't seem as flashy. He seems to be playing that well, but yet still laying really low about it.
Yeah, I have noticed that. He's even tonight, he was still kind of playing the free agent card, right? Like, I want to be the fourth member of Yanu. Like, he's saying that, like, I mean, he already kind of technically is, because he has Q and Tiffany in his corner, and Kinsey's working with Q and Tiffany, and she's going to go with them. So kind of already has that set up, but I think he's just kind of playing the part of Lone Wolf or whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, I'm definitely impressed by Hunter lately.
What do you guys think of, obviously, kind of going back to the Ben and Panic attack, what did you think about all of that with Tribal? Because I actually really enjoyed kind of what Ben said there and like just that conversation.
It was a great explanation of how you feel in the game when, like, yeah, it is a game, and but you also have this human connection and friendship, and when to separate the two, and things are bigger than the game. I don't know. It was, you know those feelings go on as a player. That was a really good insight and a lot of emotion from a handful of people, and just like how he felt, but also how Kinsey kind of helped out. And I don't know, all of it was a really cool moment. And even Q giving her some kudos to just her attitude and uplifting spirit. I was like, man, Kinsey is coming out very strong in this.
Mm-hmm. Shall we talk about the other tribal? I guess for that tribal, Tim was the one that ended up going home. I don't know if there was really much anything else there that we really had.
Yeah. Tim went home, the sexiest dad to ever play Survivor.
He took that way harder than I expected him to. He didn't seem, even when he was getting like worked up or excited, he was always just like seemed really even keel. And you could tell, like, man, he wanted this game bad when he left. Like, that was the most emotional person we'd seen up to that point, I think.
Yeah. So he's a coach for a living, right, Tim?
Ooh, I don't know.
I believe he's a coach, and that demeanor, because I noticed that throughout the season as well. He's like, he has like one emotion, regardless of the situation. And I think if he's a coach, that type of personality and that demeanor is like exactly what you want in a coach, like always the same. So
I just looked, he is a college coach.
Okay. That makes a ton of sense. So yeah, Tim, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was good with the vote. I didn't really want either one of them to go, but I was okay with it. The thing that disappointed me the most is Tim would be an awesome person on the jury. So it was kind of sad to see him not make the jury, but
yeah,
I was okay with it.
Yeah. That's my disappointment as well. It's like, he was like slowly was one of my favorite players in the season, and sucks. So that's the end of his journey. But yeah, moving on to the purple tribe. Their tribal council was a little bit more complicated with everything that kind of went on at their camp. Came down to Venus and Soda, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there weren't really any big fireworks in this tribal council compared to the first one.
Did you guys think any sort of way about Liz not bringing her bag and being so open about that?
No, that's somebody that's just confident that she's not going home is all that was to me. And I think she has every right to be, because she hasn't given anyone a reason to even look in her direction. So
being that confident, doesn't that give people a reason to look in your direction?
I don't think so, because I think I think at this point in the game, somebody like Liz is being looked at as, I want to take her to the end with me. So I don't think anybody is,
they're willing to look past all of that, because the rest of her game is not matching up. That makes sense, because if somebody like, if Q stood up and did that saying, I didn't even bring my bag because I'm good, like, that may rub people more the wrong way than Liz doing it. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah, Q says that and you might get a live tribal. Like, hey, he thinks he's staying, let's get him out now. But yeah, no. So Liz, yeah, I think she has, like, I think I've said it a lot, but she is final tribal zero vote candidate all the way right now. And she's already filthy rich. Just ask her, or don't. She'll tell you. But so Soda got voted out and is first member of the jury. And I don't know if you guys caught this, but Soda gets voted out and she asked Venus, was this you? And Venus was like, yeah, it was me. And then Tevin kind of whispered, like, no, it was not you. My question is, who gets the credit? Does Tevin get the credit? Does Venus get the credit? Or is there a spot where you could look at this and go, oh, they could both kind of have credit for this vote? It'd just be convincing other people that it was them, because they both definitely did legwork to get Soda out.
I think they both could get credit. I almost think that I would be more impressed to see Tevin let her take the credit, but have him spin it in a way of like, oh, she's just like trying to do this and trying to do that and trying to look cool. Because he can't really say that he voted out Soda, because he didn't vote for Soda. Did you guys see that?
That is true. He voted Venus, right?
Right. So for him to sit there and say, no, I came up with that plan. Yeah, you came up with that plan, but you did not execute that plan. They executed that plan without you. But I don't know that he'll... I mean, he could still spin it in a way. Nobody's going to know that it wasn't him. But... or that it was him that voted that way, but I don't know. I'll be curious to see if that kind of whole thing comes back into play.
Yeah. Like Brandon said, I think it could go both ways of them both getting credit. They both did legwork. They both had the thought. I think we have seen Tevin talk about that before. Obviously, Venus and Soda have had their differences, so I think she's always had something for Soda. But we've seen before Tevin talk about wanting to get Soda out and bringing that up. So, kind of a weird deal with him not voting for her, though.
It is weird, and I think it's a situation that I don't even know if it'll come up, but if it's like Tevin's word versus Venus's word, I think Tevin has favor there, because he has made friends on the island where Venus really has done the opposite of that.
For sure.
I hope it comes up, because that will be incredibly entertaining to see how that plays out.
Do you think he did that knowing that she's going to be on the jury? Hey, was kind of my idea. Didn't vote for you. So like, he maybe has her vote at the end if he makes it.
Trying to play the jury. Maybe, but I feel like it's a little early to start getting jury votes or focusing that heavily on jury votes.
Well, if he's gonna play that card, he can't try to take any credit for it.
Yeah,
because if you came up with the whole idea, but I didn't vote for you, but it was my idea. Like, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
I thought Soda's reaction, though, was pretty good. She was obviously clearly blindsided, but her reaction, I thought, was good.
It was one... I agree. I enjoyed her reaction, but she was one that I never really seemed to love throughout the season, but little moments like that, like, you just got to realize she's just kind of quirky and a little different, but it seems like a super cool person. And just, I don't know, I ended up liking her more and more as the episodes went on. But I think she'll be a good one to add for the jury.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Tim voted out, just missed out on the jury. Soda voted out, first member of the jury. Do we have anything else before Survivor of the Week?
No, I think we're there.
Yeah, that's all I've got.
Sweet.
Who wants to go?
Throw it at us, Blake. You go first this week.
Oof.
Got him.
Okay, I was hoping I had time to think. Okay, so I'm going to say Kenzie.
Okay.
So for me, there's a difference in playing a good strategic game and a good social game, because it's not just like physical and then like the social strategic. I feel like those are three separate categories, and Kenzie's kind of playing the best of both. or at least I saw like how much people genuinely like her this week. And I think everybody is fairly likable, but the only person that comes close to that level of people liking them is like either Charlie or Maria. But I don't think anybody has the connection like what they have with Kinsey. And then the fact that she won the immunity challenge on top of that, or the immunity idol, one of the idols. Dang, okay. Playing a great social game, playing an okay strategic game, and winning challenges, like that's, she's setting herself up really well.
I like it. Brandon, you want to go or you want me to?
I'll go. Honestly, another tough one for me this week. I think Kinsey is the best pick this week. I think she really showed that she has a legitimate shot to win this whole thing. I will say Maria for me. And one, because, and I don't think I put as much stock into challenge wins, immunity wins, as you guys do, but one, for winning immunity and reward for her tribe. But she's a quiet leader. She's got that alliance with her and Charlie. She's good with a bunch of other people as well. But the way that she handled Venus, where Venus was kind of going at her on the beach and she was just kind of shied away from it, and then later on talked to Venus about that and tried to kind of coach her up on, you know, how she should approach the situations a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. I think that's really putting yourself out there and can really paint a target on your back if you do something like that. So I love to see her kind of go out there and be risky, but also try to help somebody else's game out in a way too. And maybe, to kind of speak to what Logan was talking about, and gain herself a jury vote later.
I like it. For me, I would agree with both of you that I think Kinsey is the best pick there. I was going to kind of pick Maria as the next option as well. I'll say Charlie, the kind of duo there. I really liked them this week, Charlie and Maria. I think we've obviously talked about this multiple times. Them being in an alliance together and having that and nobody else knowing about it, I think is really, really awesome. And you don't see that very often. So for the rest of the game, or as long as they last, I think they've got a really good thing going. So kind of a weird one. Agree, Kinsey should be the one, but Maria, Charlie, kind of a runner-up type, if that makes sense. But other than that, I didn't really have much else.
Yeah. Did you guys watch the teaser for next episode?
Yes, sir.
Did you, Brandon?
Yeah, okay. I did.
I feel like sometimes you don't, but
put me on blast like that.
Oh, maybe that was just one time. I don't know. I don't remember a ton of it. Other than I think Q might be in some trouble. And then everybody was like searching for Hunter, which seemed odd. And it looked like he was in the top of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, is he going a little crazy? And we're going old school Spy Shack. But next level, like literally
that, and also Jeff at Tribal Council.
Oh yeah, what did he say? That
he said I think he was like, we've never had something like this happen before. And Survivor is not one to like tease something like that, so I'm very excited for next week. Like, I don't know if either of you like pay attention to The Bachelor or Bachelorette, but those shows, like every week they're like, you're not gonna want to miss this. because this is the biggest episode ever. And it's like something generic. But anyway, I guess I'm just exposing myself for paying attention to those shows.
No, I'm with you, because it's like, oh, she's never worn a red dress on a Tuesday when it's blowing 30 miles an hour. Yeah. Like, what? Yeah. Okay, yeah, never before seen, but so yeah, Survivor's definitely not one to do that. And the fact that we've been doing this 46 seasons now, it's hard to imagine that there's that many new things that we haven't seen before.
You never know.
Yep.
We will see.
All right.
Brandon, where can everybody find us?
Well, you can find us on Twitter at Merge Feast Pod. You can also, I was about to say our email, but hold on a second. You
can email it to us too.
You can email us. You can email us at themergefeastpodcast@gmail.com. Give us your thoughts, give us your insight. And if you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple, wherever, give us a rating. If you're catching our episodes on YouTube, subscribe, like, and subscribe to our episodes. That helps us kind of move up in the rankings of all the podcasts and the directories.
Well, we will see you guys back next week. It looks like we've got a fun one in store. So unless you guys don't have anything else, or unless you guys do have something else, say goodbye, Logan.
Goodbye, Logan.